Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven." This is a night of contradiction. As we put ashes on our foreheads, ashes that all can see, all who look at us, Jesus is there warning us not to practice our piety before others in order to be seen. If we do, Jesus tells us, our reward is in being seen, in people thinking we are pious. Jesus is, I think, telling us that intentions matter, that our motivations are important. If we undertake acts of piety, if we put ashes on our head as we do tonight, so that others can see how holy we are, then we receive the entirety of our reward in being seen, in being accounted a pious, holy person. If instead we come to this night to have ashes placed on our foreheads as sign of our desire to deepen our relationship with God, to make a right beginning of a holy Lent, then our reward will be far more profound, far deeper, even transformative and life-changing. Ashes are an ancient symbol. They are mentioned many times in Hebrew Scripture in the Old Testament, and they symbolize mourning for sins. They symbolize grief, repentance. In that spirit this night, we are called to mourn for our sinfulness, to confess and repent our sins. Tonight we acknowledge that we are not perfect, that we do indeed fall short of the glory of God. We sin. We do things that alienate us from God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Our relationships become damaged, even fractured. This night, we are invited to come before God with penitent hearts, confessing the ways we have strayed since last Ash Wednesday. We are invited to honestly and humbly examine our lives, being open with ourselves and with God. We are invited to confess and repent, to accept God's forgiveness lovingly offered us through God's generous mercy. It brings God great joy when one who has sinned confesses and repents. God rejoices when one who is lost is found. When one returns after wandering, God's arms are open wide to receive the penitent sinner, to welcome the one who repents, who returns to the fullness of relationship God desires to share with us. Trusting in God's loving forgiveness, we confess and repent this night, not in order to feel shame or unworthiness, not to punish ourselves. Rather, we do so to turn again to God, to that path of holiness God calls us to. The ashes we will wear this night are a symbol of our repentance and our desire to move into a restored and deepened relationship with God. When the ashes are imposed, the words are said, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." These ashes are a symbol of our mortality. We come before God, the one who is eternal, and remember that we are mortal. We are creatures of God, made in God's image, but we are not God. We will not live forever. We all of us will die. Now, these are startling words, I think, in our youth-obsessed culture. All around us are messages that we are to hold on to youth, that it's not good to age, as if somehow we can prevent it from happening. We live surrounded by a culture that ignores death, that denies death, that does its best to push off any thought of death. And yet, we are marked with ashes and a call to remember our mortality, to remember that we need God, that we are not God, to recall that through baptism we are marked as Christ's own forever, baptized into his death and into his resurrection, Through Christ, we are set free from sin and death, from the temptations and the lies of this world around us. And we are called into a journey as fully human creatures, as beings who will die, yet are safe in God for eternity. This night we begin our Lenten journey, this period of 40 days, with the opportunity to accept the gift of this season, heeding God's call to return, to reorient ourselves, to put our relationships with God as the priority, as the center of our lives. How do we do this? There are some clues in our gospel tonight. Jesus mentions three practices that are central to the Christian life and to, I think, our Lenten journey. The first is giving alms, caring for those in need, those who do not have enough. The heart of almsgiving is caring for our neighbor, and it is rooted in the reality that all we have is a gift of God. God creates all that is, entrusting it to our care. And from what we have been given, we are to give away a portion in thanksgiving to God. Not only does this practice help transform the injustices of our world, it changes us. In giving away what we have, we must trust God to provide what we need. Giving alms is the antithesis of hoarding, of holding on tightly to all that we have been given stewardship of. Jesus also mentions praying. Just as he did, we are called to be faithful in daily prayer, setting aside time to come into God's presence. We do this with words, with our own words, with composed words, such as we find in the prayers in the Book of Common Prayer. We also do this in silence, listening for God's word to come to us. We go and dwell quietly and simply in God's presence, listening for God, worshiping God. Part of this call to prayer is also a call to read and study God's word, Holy Scripture. Prayer and study of God's word provides a solid foundation for our Lenten journey, as well as our lives as followers of Jesus. In tonight's gospel, Jesus also talks about fasting. And this may be the most challenging for us. For those of us who are middle class have an abundance of things available to us, including food, regardless of season. Fasting in this land of plenty, I don't think, is very popular. Yet to give up what we may want, to resist our desires and our cravings for a period or even for a season, shows us the power these desires have over us. Giving them up for a time allows us to trust God, to rely on God, and may just provide an opportunity for transformation in how we live. All these practices, whether undertaken during Lent or not, Jesus is calling us to do privately, not for show. We ought not seek the approval and the affirmation of others, but instead the transformation of our lives and the deepening of our relationship with God. So this night, I invite you to keep a holy Lent, to accept the ashes on your forehead as a symbol of your repentance and your penitence, as a symbol of your mortality and your need for God. Doing so is a statement of your trust in God's loving mercy and God's compassion. May we make a good beginning of Lent this night, being drawn deeper into the heart of God. And may we come to know a joyous Easter, that foretaste and promise of life eternal God desires to share with us. Through our Lenten journey begun this night, may we be drawn deeper into the heart of God, into the divine life of the Trinity. Amen.